that would mean that this is one of the voices that,
if you don't want me to...
Stay down, see, come up.
But...
Margaret, if you don't want him to be talking about you...
Yeah.
He's not talking about me. I'm talking about it. I'm one of the voices that he does, all right?
Yes, and so am I. You know, I might as well just do this myself, because you guys are... Don't give me that you guys.
No, I didn't say anything.
I'm saying it. I'm saying that if I am going to be a voice that introduced... Forget it.
That's your favorite phrase, Margaret. You know that?
Well, you just went...
Let me do it. The Phil Henry Show is on air.
Well, that is unacceptable.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Thank you. Welcome to the program, folks.
Phil, you can say what you want about me, but you just went... You stutter-stepped. You bleached. You did a lip bleach.
What's going on, Phil? What's going on? Every morning it's the same thing, man. Margaret's getting upset with being called a voice.
Please don't talk about me like I'm some lump, like I'm a thing sitting on a tray. That you don't know whether you want to serve it or throw it out. You don't know whether you want to serve it or just push it with a look on your face of pure revulsion into the garbage disposal, throw the switch and go, oh, God, it's the stink. Someone get the
Lysol.
Yes.
You know, Margaret, I never give that much thought to anything, but...
Yeah, what you just said there is, Greg. I don't give that much thought to anything.
Yeah, me neither.
Yes, I know. You don't give that much thought to anything. I believe that.
Well, if they follow suit, then they follow suit.
What do you mean, follow suit?
They look like they're wearing shorts.
We can start all over again if you want.
No, please don't, because Frank's picking me up after the show. We're going to have lunch over at Ted's of Beverly Hills. We are lunching at
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
At Ted's of Everlyville.
At Ted's of Please don't pound the...
Pound the what?
Yeah, we're talking about him, sir.
Don't pound the table, if you don't mind, because I'm hearing it. When we're editing after the show, I'm listening to this, you know, this very concussive sound.
All right, Phil, well, you're the worst, I would say the worst offender there.
All right, so where are you going?
Who?
You and Frank.
Yeah, you and Frank, you're gonna go somewhere.
Oh, we're going over to Ed's of Everly, we're going over to Ted's of Beverly Hills after the show to have, now I forgot,
what do you get at a restaurant?
Food.
Are you going for lunch?
That's it, we're going for lunch.
God damn. You didn't even know about that.
I'm sorry, Robert, but it slipped my mind.
Well, we're also going to have Ted on the program to talk with us. I think he's going to be on there with Vernon Dozier. They got a new hockey team in the city of Las Vegas. And this new hockey team, I guess, do they need a name or something?
Well, they're going to be called the Black Knights or something.
Yeah, they said they're going to call the Black Knights, but the people, that's still up in the air.
This is a hockey team.
Yeah.
Well, now Las Vegas is a desert. I don't know how that works.
It doesn't matter, Margaret. They have indoor arenas.
I understand that, but I would think that a desert-dwelling people wouldn't be interested in that.
It's not like that. I mean, people watch hockey on television. People, they're into the sport, you know, and even in the desert, my goodness, you can have an arena and...
Oh, my goodness.
Obviously, I sound a little fake.
My goodness, you can have an arena and have ice and have a hockey game, so...
All right, Phil.
How does a kid... this is a very good point you make, though. How does a little tiny kid that is raised in the desert... You understand what I'm saying, Robert?
Yeah, well, I mean, the same thing like a kid who's raised in the projects or in the inner city, and a kid that is poor and has nowhere to go to play.
They got ice rinks and everything in the inner cities. I seen them on TV.
What are you talking about, man?
Don't they have some kind of a program for young people that go ice skating?
Yeah, ice skating's not the same thing as hockey. No, it's not. I mean, yeah, but they do. Robert, they have programs where the kids go and they skate. I don't know how extensive they are. They're probably not worth a pinch of you-know-what. I mean, fact of the matter is, hockey, like baseball and like a lot of sports, they have youth leagues. And most of these youth leagues are run by fathers and uncles and dad, you know, that kind of deal. In other words, a generation of people who played the game and are now passing it on to the kids, and I'm not so sure that exists to any great degree in American cities. Now, in the you know, smaller towns,
what is the big hockey area in America? Because there's nothing going on out here.
Now, you wouldn't know that anybody's interested in hockey by being here in L.A., man. I got a guy who'll say to me, "Hey, did you see the Kings game?" I'll go, "What is that? The Kings game? Is it a game of hockey? Are you?" I thought it was that Game of Thrones, you know?
Yeah, somebody said that to me the other day.
What?
He said, "Have you seen the King's Game?" And I go, "Are you talking about the Game of Thrones?"
What? Man, the guy said the King's Game.
I thought he was talking about a Game of Thrones.
So you don't even know what hockey is? Is that it?
Well, yeah, I do, but
it's a very easy mistake to make. Did you see the Game of Thrones? Did you see the King Game of Thrones? You know?
No, it's not an easy mistake to make. No.
All right, Phil. God, you're very unattractive when you go, nye-ye. Your face scrunches up almost. It's like someone took a fist and started the other side of the room.
All right, Margaret, I understand.
No, I'm going to finish this. And ran at you and pile-drived your face with the fist until your face went, nye-ye. You know? General?
Are you serious?
I'm very serious.
Well, no, I don't.
Thank you for that, though.
I'm not saying that it's when you get angry, you go, ooh. Then all of a sudden you're going from not a half-bad good-looking man to just a brute, an ape. Yes, an attractive ape, but an ape nonetheless.
God damn. I didn't. You got the hots for you and everything.
Hey, come on.
Talk like that. My husband's listening.
All right. So that's what we're going to do on the show today, whatever that was.
What? You didn't say Jack Diddley. You said you're going to have on Mel. Who is it?
Mel?
Who's the guy, the football guy?
Vernon Dozier, and we're going to have on Ted Bell, and we're going to have something on, man. We're going to put somebody on. Before we go to traffic, I wanted to, what else? Oh, that Brexit thing, man. Does anybody understand that?
Yeah, but what is that Brexit now?
That's a hairspray or something, isn't that?
Brexit hairspray.
Hairspray?
They talk about shampoo, Brexel or something.
Oh, that's right, the Brexel shampoo.
This is a thing they're voting on in England.
I know that, Phil.
All right. The deal they're voting on in England, it's a very, very serious thing, man, because this is whether they're going to stay, whether they're going to leave, should I stay or should I go, you know? Or are they just, you know, what's going to happen in this European Union? Frank Gray on the line from his offices.
Hey, Frank, it's General Shaw here. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm trying to get Bill,
Mr. Gray, how are you? It's Bud Dickman.
Yeah, Bud, I'm good.
I'm going to talk to you about the Brexit.
Yeah, the Brexit. I heard someone talk. At first, I thought it was a new sandwich at McDonald's, and you know I'm very partial to that.
No, this is not a McDonald's sandwich, though, Don.
I know that. I understand that, Margaret. But when they said, "What do you think of Brexit?" I said, "Let's go. I'll take one with ham." That's the first thing I said. I'll take one with ham. And it was a partner of ours from our London office, Jeremy Quicken. And she gave me a look like I was the largest lump of something that ever dropped out of a dinosaur's, not just any, but she said I looked like dinosaur, you know what, to her. And
to him?
To her. And so I was very offended by that.
Well, let me get to the question here. The vote that took place in England yesterday, one that is obviously, the results are coming in today, because it was a long process.
Right, but the leave Brexit won.
Right. So what do you feel, and I know what the immediate problem was, the stock markets got nailed.
Well, the stock markets are going to get nailed because the stock market is run on nerves. The stock market is where every nervous Nelly, every frightened, every worried, every grandmother that you can possibly imagine, that's where he goes and gets nervous and just takes a big, you know, messes all over the economy. Now, I think once they begin to hammer out how England or, United Britain, the Great Kingdom...
United Kingdom is what it's called.
United Kingdom. Once they hammer that out, and that could take anywhere from 48 hours to 72 years, yeah.
Frank, don't fool around. This is a very serious question.
I'm not fooling around, Margaret. I'm trying to get a handle on this all night long. Overnight, we had the secretaries around here trying to put together dossiers and a map of Europe. I don't know. The last time I looked at a map of Europe, I was sightseeing with Margaret. We were going to go and see the tomb of the Napoleon. But
Napoleon.
Yeah, Napoleon.
All right, look, the stock market did tank. So tell me, just from the immediacy of that, What does that mean?
Yeah, because if I could...
Go ahead.
The stock market tanked to 700 points it went down.
Hey, let me ask you, how come Dickman's asking questions?
Because we decided to get him involved.
All right. What was the question again, Dickman?
The stock market went down 700 points.
Well, that's she's talking about the futures.
Yeah, the stock futures.
Yeah, yeah. The nervous Nellies, every time something happens that's different and weird and unusual and has a weird look to it, you know, and you just, there's a sell-off. And I learned that very early as a young man. I went out on a date with a young lady. He was about 2 years younger than me. And I thought that he was very sexy and he had, you know, everything going on. I won't get graphic, but he had the nice... You know?
Yeah, we understand.
No need to be graphic, Frank.
No need to be graphic, Frank.
I heard you, Margaret. Thank you.
All right, Frank, so you went out with a young lady.
Well, I'm making the point that, you know, when you see something, and you may not be completely aware, but when you see something that makes you nervous, you're ready to dump everything and run. And an example of that is this young woman that I went out with when I was in college. I'll never forget it. His name was Charlene. He was 5'2", eyes of blue. Oh, there I go again.
You're always doing it. Just don't forget about the blue eyes.
I know, but I get stuck in a loop. He was.
Don't say how tall he was.
Well, I won't. He was 5'2".
All right, just go ahead and say it.
5'2", eyes of blue. Oh, what he can do. Has anybody seen my gal? Okay.
Are you through it?
Yeah, I'm through it. So I picked him up one night, and I felt he was attractive, and we went out on a date, and he was a very nice young lady. But when I got a real good look at him underneath the glaring light that was over that tamale stand out on the pier. Do you know the one, Margaret?
It's the one, yeah, as you get up close to the roller coaster.
Yeah, yeah. There was a glaring, almost like a searchlight that went right down on his face as we were ordering up two more hot tamales. And I went, yeah, man, I knew it. I knew there was something wrong with this date. And I dropped the tamale, my drink. I had about three items, a tamale, a drink, and I think they were fries.
Chili cheese fries.
Yeah, chili cheese fries. And I dropped all three at once. They hit the cement with one of those sickening splat sounds like someone just vomited. And I ran. I ran the length of the pier, and...
That's very classy. Though you left that girl there?
No, I didn't leave him there. I got the car, and I brought it around, and I said, hey, we got to get out of here. And he said, are we going home? And I said, yes. And he said, I better not get into it.
Well, did you have a relationship with this young lady or not?
I'm not going to get into it, Margaret.
All right, but the story apparently has nothing to do with economics. You just wanted to bring up...
What do you mean it doesn't have anything to do with economics? What are you talking about?
You're talking about a young lady that you took home, all right, that's fine, but we're talking about seeing something that scares you as it pertains to Brexit.
Well, you guys started talking about a sandwich or something.
Not a sandwich, talk about a Brexit where everybody wants to leave a EU.
What was that English or was that a cow being gelded? I didn't understand.
That was Bud, and he's saying we're talking about Britain leaving the EU.
Oh, yes. Well, I can tell you, don't you guys have that door open yet?
I'm going to try one more time.
God damn. These guys, open the door. I'm sick of listening to my car alarm.
Frank, what are you doing?
I'm not doing. I'm talking to you people right now.
Is that your car alarm?
Yes, it is. I mean, I got the key. Look. So Brexit, in my opinion, is going to be I think what is going to happen is the European Union is going to coalesce around a whole new set of rules and laws, because this is just going to be the beginning of the end. But these countries over there, it's going to be every woman for himself, every man for herself, and every little boy for herself, and every little girl for himself, and every eunuch for itself. And
all right, we got it, Frank. And so will there be economic chaos in Europe?
I think there's going to be a shakedown cruise. The United States may be the beneficiary, but then again, we may not be. I'll tell you this, the unintended consequence may we...
What are you doing anyway?
I'm trying to say...
Maybe?
Yeah, that's maybe. The unintended consequence may be that the American companies that are doing business over in Europe can't take it anymore, they can't stand it any longer. If I hear that car alarm, Charlie...
I almost got it.
Almost got it. Half an hour. Is that my car?
No, it's down the street.
Well, how many car alarms are going? The unintended quack.
The unintended consequences.
Right. Will be that no American company can do business in Europe. It returns to the United States, gets its ass gelded by a high corporate rate, because Congress is never going to cut corporate tax rates. never, ever. I don't care who's president of the United States. I don't care if it's Trump, if it's Hillary Clinton, if it's Hillary Trump, if it's Donald Clinton, if it's Donald
Donald Duck.
If it's that right there, the kid said it. If it's Donald Duck, even if she's president, Donald Duck.
All right, Frank. I hope things get squared away.
Give us a call, Adi, if you can't get the car open.
I'm not going to call you. I'll call somebody with a sledgehammer or something.
Frank Gray, ladies and gentlemen, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we continue talking about this whole Brexit thing.
Well, I mean, he didn't even explain about a stock market.
The stock market, like I was saying, everybody gets nervous and scared, and they want to sell, 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 because they think the whole damn thing is going to hell in a handcart.
Well, I'm looking at Christiane Amanpour, you know, Phil.
Yeah.
Well, what are you looking at me like that for?
Because you're good with the Christine Amiens. Margaret, I understand you speak French.
Yes, I do, and I'm simply trying. I'm not lording it over anyone. I'm just saying I'm watching Christiane Amanpour.
Her name isn't Amanon. You're making it sound more worse than it is.
I'm making it sound more worse than it is.
All right. Her name is Christiane Amanpour, okay?
Yes, that's fine. I want to do it, though, because I'm the one that gives it the French. Christiane Amanpour.
Good.
Now, I was watching her this morning, and she made some very good points. Very good points indeed. That this plays to the prejudices of the common man. That it makes it seem as if all these immigrants are evil people. It plays to the racism. And some of these people, Phil, are not the nicest people in the world.
Well, I know that there's that French politician, General.
Yeah, this is some... Let me tell you something. The French are real good for this whole fascist, right-wing, Nazi deal. You got more guys over there that ought to be strutting around with the funny-looking mustache. Jesus.
But you're not talking about France.
You damn right I'm talking about France. And now the latest guy... is some guy by the name of Gert Geeler or some
Oh, yeah, that's the guy from Netherlands.
Now, who is this?
This guy is, well, Robert, you know about him?
Yeah, he's the leader of the right-wing party in the Netherlands, and he wants to have a referendum now.
See, all of these right-wing guys, and of course, it's emboldened. One of the things that I think has happened in America, all of the right-wingers are very emboldened. Now, I'm not just saying, I'm not talking about conservatives. That's I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about right-wing, which is a borderline faction in any country, I think, of people that tend to not even have national interest at heart. They have some weird self-interest that has a lot to do with race, and it has to do with their own ideas of what the culture is. It's a little scary, man. It's exclusionary. I don't think it's very patriotic, no matter what the country. And right now in Europe, there's a whole lot of that, jazz that's going on.
Yeah, well, but like you were saying, Assembly, that America is not Europe.
Right there. I think that's a very good point.
Well, now, what do you mean America's not Europe?
Well, America's not Europe. America's America. One of the good things about Americans is that we're not we're not people that... we don't copy Europe. I mean, that's where that's good, you know. The whole thing, like, I don't want any health care because that's commie. But when we say we're not going to do this thing that they're doing in Europe, which is get paranoid about, dark people or... And you know what? I shouldn't really be criticizing.
Well, here's the thing. They've got borders. I'll tell you something right now. In Europe, it's like a bunch of guys in a closet. And you don't know, you turn around, some guy's fingering you. Excuse me, Margaret, I don't mean to put it that way.
Well, do you have to put it that way, then?
Yes, well, I'm trying to say, in Europe, it's so small and all the countries are so jammed together that you're all jammed together in a dark closet. Some guy fingers you, and...
What does that mean, some guy fingers you?
You see, you only encourage him.
I'm not trying to... I'm saying, you've never been in a closet with a bunch of guys.
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
Oh, give me a break, will you?
What are you talking about? Like in a college prank or something?
If you're in a closet, maybe it was some training we had in the Army, I don't know. But if you're in a closet and they're all crammed together and you feel someone's finger up there, friend, you're ready to commit homicide.
Yeah, of course. Are you saying that's like what an immigrant is?
That's it, right there. Robert said it. That's like the immigrant problem. It's like a finger right up the...
Okay.
If you laugh at me, so help me Christ.
No. I'm listening. All right, so, whatever it is, that's actually not a very bad, that's not a very bad comparison. Europe is like a bunch of guys crammed into a dark closet, and no one knows who's fingering the other guy. What's wrong?
I think that all of you, all of you out there, you need a doctor. A guy fingering you in a closet.
Margaret, I'm trying to put it, I'm trying to make the words come out.
We understand, General. Thank you very, very much. Phil Henry Show, going to be right back. We got some traffic to get to. Bobby Dooley is going to join us. They're up at Butner Lake, huh?
Oh, for God's sake.
They're up at Butner Lake.
That's not going up at Butt Lake.
Yeah, whatever, man. It's time for... Yeah, it's time for the traffic right now. Wait a minute. What do we got going on out there, bud?
Oh, sorry about that.
Hey, Bob Bacon?
We got a top right. I was a little bit of a tree, man. And I'll tell you what happened. Is he got by, he got a crown of thorns, and there was a crown of thorns there. And he just said, what ahead, tell me, and I'm going to find out about that. Up here on the 15 freeway, they're getting out downtown. And we're getting out here with a smooth sailing there. He's got that thumb going out of it, and the correlation between the very Levine. The Virgin Mary and the Great Pump Town is going to be tonight at 8 o'clock. The Virgin Mary in the Pump Downtown. The Virgin Mary and the Pump Pumps downtown right here at Channel 63. Don't miss it. I'm going to Skyboy.
Hey, Bob, I've got to be in the same horn, and then, boy, I tell you what, that whore over there, Jim Bond, and the whorehouse, that was on the line, Bond, seeing your dad. My little boy, Dad's got any sleep in. I can't wait to wait,
Hello, Ellie Brown here for Baron von Richthofen striped pants. I know you've seen them in many, many TV commercials and war movies. You see the general staff of the German army with the big striped pants and those big jumpers. I bet you want to wear those yourself, like to walk around in the street and look like a real freak on a stick, right? Well, come on over here now to Baron von Richthofen's clothing for men. That's the striped pant clothing for men. And I'm the one, Ellie Brown. I'm the one. I started the whole deal. It's my store, okay? Just talk to me. Don't talk to my brother, okay? He is in the back right now. I've got him basically what he's doing is separating shoes and things. Maybe I'll put him out on the loading dock, but I'm so disgusted with myself that I even brought him here. Don't talk to him, okay? Please, don't talk. It only encourages him. Come to Baron von Richthofen's, the striped pants. You look like a member of the general staff. You rock around with a jodhpurs. You look stupid. You look real stupid. But you've got some class. And maybe that's for the first time in your life. I don't know.
Baron von Richthofen's striped pants from the German general staff. When the dark.
Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Here's Phil.
All right. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley have been spending the last few nights. This is their annual trip up to Butner Lake, and we're going to be talking with them right now. You've had the usual run-ins with some of the other boaters.
Bobby, if I could ask you a question, you have had some pretty serious accidents. Some of the photographs that you've been posting, first of all, I want to know, is everyone all right?
Oh, yes, thank you. No, everyone's fine. Everyone's fine. We are a very active family. You know, I know you and Frank are a little bit older.
All right, so, you know, we get out and around, darling. There's no point in you know, comparing yourself to me like you're out on the beach. And you've got the thong right up the crack, and you're,
I beg your pardon. I have never...
All right, ladies, you're both very active families, okay?
Well, I'm not the active family.
You're part of active families.
That's my point.
All right, but, yes, I do play beach volleyball, and I do wear a thong. For you to say that I've got it shoved...
You know, every time we have the two of you together, it never works out. It never works out.
Well...
Look, let me just ask you this. Everyone's all right.
Everyone is all right. Let's just keep it off of volleyball and keep it off of whatever shoved up the crack of my...
All right, thank you. Did you dump that?
No.
Oh, he didn't dump ass?
So, I'm going to start all over again because I'm telling you...
Phil, don't do it.
All right, let's...
What are you doing, Phil?
I'm starting all over again. Get on the phone with her.
Yeah, Dooley, you got to start all over. You got to start all over again. Yeah.
Give me that. Bobby, it's Phil. You got to start all over again. I know he just told you that. Just, guys, get to it. Margaret.
What are you pointing at me for?
I'm pointing at you so you don't start another argument. All right, now, Bobby and Steve Dooley from Western States Homeowners Association with us. And we know every year they go up to Butner Lake, and that's where they are. And we have Bobby Dooley on the phone with us.
Bobby, hello, it's Margaret.
Yes, okay, so we're starting all over?
Yes, we are starting all over again. And how are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to mention that whatever kind of thong I have wedged up my...
All right, we don't want to talk about it. Don't want to talk about it. Don't want to talk about it.
What that mean, Mr. Ernest? I got retarded.
don't want to talk about it.
We don't want to talk about it, or I'm going to hang the phone up.
All right. I just wanted to make clear.
We're moving on, okay? We're just going to move on from all of that.
All right. Yesterday I was on my way. Are you talking about us going over to Cow Palace?
What is Cow Palace?
That's where we get our beer.
That's where we get our beer. And I was running over to Cow Palace to get some beer for the afternoon. And that's when I saw Jerry Sexton, and he looked as if he wanted to get into this one slip there that was at the store. So I said to him, "No, I want that. Let's roll the tape if we can."
Hey, Jerry. Hi. I want that.
I don't give a damn. All right, you asked for it.
So that was the...
I don't even know what the hell happened there. What happened?
Well, we cut in front of him so that when he tried to get into the slip, the boat went up in the air. He ejected and began to walk very quickly. If you see the photographs that I've posted...
Now, these are on your Twitter feed.
Yes.
All right, I'm looking at one of these pictures that is incredible, and I don't know if we can bring it up on the screen now, but for those of you who are out there watching Phil TV in HD...
Right after the interview...
What do you mean right after the interview?
We'll get it on the screen after we interview you.
All right. Well, his boat went up in the air, and then he began this very energetic walk away from the boat on the water. You know?
What do you mean? This looks like the guy's walking on water.
Well, he was ejected at such a speed, you know?
I understand. Now, in this next picture, it looks like you're hitting him.
Yes, because he didn't get out of the way.
Yeah, to get out of the way, you snooze, you lose. Which has always been our philosophy.
Well, and it is.
What does that mean, if you snooze, you lose? You're going like a bat out of hell, and this guy just got ejected from his own boat. By the grace of God, he's walking on water.
Well, I was trying the best way I knew how.
Yeah, all right, to avoid him, and instead you... Is he okay?
He's fine, I think. We're supposed to get over to the hospital, right?
No, I think he's out of the hospital. I think it's just a few scratches.
A few scratches? Holy Jesus, this is one of the most... This is an insane-looking accident here.
Well, as I said, he got ejected so quickly that he began walking across the water, and then the boat hit him. So, I don't know. Steve, you been in touch with the hospital?
Yeah, they said he's going to be okay. Looks like they probably next time, try to get him and put him and sit him up and feed him some soup.
Yeah. Did you get that, Phil?
Not really, but okay. I heard feed him some soup.
All right, so you're going to feed him some soup. Then what?
Then what? What?
All right, well, what was this other accident?
Oh, then the other accident was Steve was out with the boys, and this was, I think this was not Sexton, but this was another group that were also on their way into the Cow Palace.
Man, I don't know if you're going to do that.
I don't give a damn. Billy, every goddamn year you come up here.
All right, you asked for it.
What an ass.
What about me?
And that was what happened there. But that was simply, and you trailered it in, right, Steve?
Yeah, I trailered that guy's boat in.
I saw the boat on the trailer, and that was from that accident. Both of these accidents that you're talking about are accidents that involve you guys, by your own admission, cutting people off.
Yeah, they're trying to get into the slipper on a Cow Palace.
Yes.
You said that you were cutting them off.
Well, I didn't go yes, yes, Phil. I went...
You went no, no.
Yeah, you said no, no.
All right, I said no, no. What a baby. I'm talking to a guy over here.
Just stick with me, Bobby.
All right. I said that's mine. That slip is mine. I'm going like a bat out of hell, and I'm not stopping for shit.
Yeah, that's my wife said.
All right. That having been said, as I made my entry there into the small area where the slips are...
Well, just because you say that you ain't stopping for shit doesn't mean that other people have to respect that.
Well, that's true, but then guess what? I mean, what sense does that make?
Yeah, General, I think you'd have a little bit better, thing on that.
Wait a second. That is a ridiculous statement, Bobby, to say, well, I'm not stopping for you, now what? And therefore, if you run into me, it's your fault.
I've given them fair warning, and we are up. I've got a family to feed.
Bobby, you can't. All right, let me. You can't just do anything. Would you agree that there have got to be speed limits?
Yes, there are speed limits, but I wasn't speeding.
All right, you weren't speeding, but you said you revved it, and or in the instances of those. Now here we have a different situation.
Can we just deal with this right now? This was the boat that was sawed in half, right?
Yeah, this guy got sawed in half. Because he wouldn't pay attention to me. I said, it's mine. I go like a bat out of hell. And he didn't pay attention.
Yeah, and now I'm looking at this guy's boat on the back of a trailer. Now, there are two other photographs here of water skiers who are being towed underwater.
Yes, and I pointed that out. In fact, I got the Harbor Patrol over. That was Carolyn Glasscock. And the other was Madeline Sugarman. And both the one of them was hauling her towing her husband. The other was her eldest son. But I said to the harbor master, Neat Deenan, you know, Neat, I said, these people...
This guy's name was Neat.
Yes, that's right, Neat.
Yeah, his name is Neat Deenan.
All right, fine. That's an unusual name.
Well, I don't know.
All right, go ahead.
This man, these are two men that we saw the pictures of, and they're being dragged underwater.
Margaret, do you water ski?
I have water skied, yes.
Yeah, but do you water ski now?
Well, are you saying something's changed in water skiing? Now people water ski underwater?
Shut up, bud, will you?
Oh, my God.
Hey, Dickman, boy, if I was there.
Yeah, what? Hey. All right.
Okay. No, people don't water ski underwater. When they throttled up, they were trying to get out of my way. I told them, I'm coming in and I'm not stopping for you know what. All right, I go like hell and I'm not stopping for, I don't stop for shit. And I came into the slip area, they throttled up, it forced the skier underwater, and we were able to get into our slip.
So you're just out there operating in any way that you want, Bobby, without any, awareness of the consequences.
Do you talk much?
Captain, you're all going,
That's very funny, Steve.
Yeah. My impression, Mr. Henderson.
You done?
Well, Phil, don't get your feelings hurt.
Yeah, don't get all butt hurt.
Yeah, don't get butt hurt, okay?
Yeah, don't get butt hurt.
No, I'm not going to get butt hurt. I'm just going to hang up on you.
Well, don't get butt...
All right.
Well, you did get a little butt hurt.
Now, what's going on, Phil? Hey, man, I'm not going to have a couple of juveniles on the air talking about how, you know, these are two people who are manifestly irresponsible. And when I pointed out to them, they're making fun of the way I talk, going, that guy Steve Dooley is not anywhere near as funny as he thinks he is.
Well, look, I understand your frustration, but I think hanging up on them when they were simply making, I think, a valid point.
What valid point were they making?
About the butt hurt.
No, because I mean, you don't want to get butt hurt. I can't believe these people.
Get them back on.
Why? They're being redundant.
Just get them back on, let them make asses of themselves, and then your conscience is clear.
My conscience is clear right now.
It is.
Put them back on, bud.
Yeah, Ms. Dooley. Yeah. Mr. Henry's going to give you one final shot. Yeah, I'm going to have the butt, saying he's butt hurt. Saying he's butt hurt.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
Give me. Bobby, we're on the air. All right. Never mind about being butthurt. So what I'm saying to you is, don't you think your operation of that boat...
That motorboat?
Yeah, they don't call it motorboats anymore, Mr. Henry.
I was going to say motorcycle, and I said boat, and I missed up. The...
Motorboat?
Well, what do you want to call it? Motorboat? You can call it...
You can call it like a... Ooh, I've got a motorboat.
Yeah, call it that.
Goodbye.
Ooh, y'all butt hurt.
Well, Phil.
Goodbye. World famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com. We'll be right back here. We got our good brother there, Ted Bell from Ted's in Beverly Hills, going to be coming up with Vernon Dozier and talking about the hockey team. Ian. Where is it?
It's in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas. Stack it up day to day, young nigga. You know you gotta go. Right on.
Oh, I hate the N-word. When they do that, it makes me so uncomfortable, even though this music is very now.
It is. It's very now and very with it.
But I still find it to be very, I think it's demeaning, and demeaning in ways that,
All right, Ms. Gray, I mean, you don't have to pretend like you care.
I'm not pretending like I care. I'm pretending. I'm not pretending at all. I do care, but I don't care as much as I'm pretending to care. Is that...
That's great, Margaret.
Thank you.
Ted's about
all right, Ted.
Steakhouse, come on down.
Everybody, come on down to Ted's in Beverly Hills. The summer months are upon us, and I'll tell you something. There's no better place than Ted's in Beverly Hills on a Sunday night with that slow-cooked, slow-roasted prime rib. Oh, yeah.
Here at Ted's,
yeah.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
I'll tell you what, Phil, and we're cooking it up again this weekend. Baseball is on a tube there in the prime rib room. It is going to be a stellar, stellar sunburn.
Talking about the summer.
Yeah, summer, I'm sorry. And it's all happening at Tens of Beverly Hills. We'll have the fire pit lit this weekend, so go out down to Tens of Beverly Hills.
All right, Ted Bell joining us, and we also have Vernon Dozier, who's at the Belmar Academy Gym. We wanted to talk about the National Hockey League coming to Las Vegas. I know you're a big hockey fan, Ted. You have season seats for both the teams in town, right?
I do have season tickets for the L.A. Kings, and I have season tickets for the Anaheim Ducks. At one time called the Mighty Ducks, but there was a group of us that got together. Those of us who had what are called the elevated load seats, and we have an elevated load a luxury suite there at the Pond in Anaheim. We felt that because of the money that we spend every year for our season seats, that our opinion should be, you know, taken into consideration perhaps a bit more strongly. And so we went collectively to the collective ownership of the Anaheim Ducks, and we said, at the time they were called the Mighty Ducks, and we said, it's got to end. It has to end, or we cannot continue our association with the team.
What are you talking about? What has to end?
Oh, man, I've been sitting here.
Look, would you just answer the man's question? You don't have to get so upset. Everybody on this show has such thin skin. It's just driving me nuts.
What's the problem, Ted?
Hey, what is this anyway?
Well, Ted, look, the general wants to know, what are you talking about? Changing what?
We're changing the name from the Mighty Ducks to the Ducks.
I don't know a damn thing. Is this hockey?
Yes.
I wouldn't know hockey from roller derby, okay? I'm just asking you.
Roller derby? Oh! Look.
Don't get so upset. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact there's going to be a team in Las Vegas.
No, we talk about team going to be in Las Vegas.
Because we're getting some background here, Dickman. We're getting background.
Yeah, get a little bit of background. All right, so the team is called the Ducks.
What team?
The team in Anaheim.
Yes, that's the Ducks. And we had gone to the Ducks, and we had said they were called the Mighty Ducks. So we went to the Mighty. At the time we went to them, they were the Mighty Ducks. And we said, look, you're the Mighty Ducks. Woo! So what? We want it changed. It's embarrassing for us to be, you know, associated with it. And they said to us, fine, we'll just go ahead and give your luxury box over to somebody else. And we said, well, now hold on for just a minute. We don't feel that strongly about it. And that's when they said we were going to change it anyway. So
in other words, nothing you guys said changed anything.
As far as I know, Phil, I don't know. But here's the thing. I know hockey about as well as any fan can know, and I do know that the appetite for hockey here in the West, on the West Coast, as well as in the, you know, the desert regions. Look at the Phoenix Saddle Tramps. Are they still in Phoenix? I don't know.
The who? Who are the Phoenix Saddle Tramps?
The Rough Riders.
The Roadrunners, the Phoenix Roadrunners, aren't they still around?
You have to look it up.
Yeah, no, they're around. They moved out of Atlanta. That was where they couldn't get it going. The Atlanta Flames moved to the Winnipeg area and became the old Winnipeg Jets. But I think that Las Vegas is going to be fantastic.
All right, and so you would recommend that the fans in Las Vegas, and you recommend the city of Las Vegas is a good hockey town.
Well, I think Las Vegas is going to be a great professional sports town. 2 million people, metro. So it's a large market. Now, here's the thing about Las Vegas. It's a place where people used to go to escape. I know I used to go to Vegas to escape. I went there, and I wanted to get away, and I know that Coach Dozier's going to talk about that. And I wanted to get away from everything, but now that it's big league, it's big league. I know Vernon has a different feeling on that, but I feel that you got to go with the times.
We've got Vernon Dozier, Coach Dozier, on the phone right now, who is at the Belmar Academy gym. Coach, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm great, everybody. And how you doing, Ted?
I'm doing great.
Hey, Coach, what do you think about Las Vegas with this hockey team?
I was listening to what Ted was saying. Now, here's my feeling. He's absolutely right. I used to go to Vegas to relax and get away from everything that the world represents. And the world represents all of this, big league that, all kinds of pressures, all kinds of this and that, all kinds of tugging and pulling and grabbing and gripping and just squeezing. Sometimes, and forgive me, Phil, but life reminds me sometimes of, if you're walking through the shower when you're a kid, remember a guy used to take the towel and twist it and do a snap, just kind of try to snap it?
Oh, man, that used to hurt.
Yeah, I do remember.
What are you talking about now?
Well, good morning to you, Ms. Gray.
Well, what are you talking about? Are you talking about towel snapping a man's genitals? Is that it?
Oh, man.
Do you hear that, Bill? Boy.
Well, that's what she's saying. She's asking a correct question.
Yes, all right. That's what life is to me. Life to me is sometimes I'm walking, minding my own business, and some guy winds the towel up and then just snaps it. So just the very last little bit of it just snaps right against your
testicle,
and the pain shoots right up into your ass. So
all right. So life is a painful thing for you.
No, it's not a painful thing. But when it is, that's the way it is. Now here's the thing: when you could go to Las Vegas and get away from all of that. That's what made Vegas special. Now, you can't. Now, when I go to Vegas, it's going to be just another town with another professional team, and it's just going to be another town with a bunch of crybaby sports fans. A lot of them don't know any, know a hell of a lot less than they think they do. It's not going to be fun.
When you put it like that, Phil, when he puts it like that, it's a very interesting point. By the same token, we're only talking about a hockey team. We're not talking about a football team and a basketball team and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, but I've heard that the Raiders are going to move there.
Yes, I heard Frank was talking about the Raiders going from Oakland to Las Vegas. So then you would have football and hockey, and I'm sure it wouldn't be much longer after that before basketball.
Well, I don't know about. Whether they would support basketball.
Well, they used to have the Utah Jazz played a couple of games a year in Las Vegas.
What are you talking about?
Hey, what I'm telling you is that's where Kareem broke the... I remember Kareem Abdul-Jabbar breaking the career scoring mark at the Thomas and Mack Arena in Las Vegas. I don't even know if that's still there. You know anything about it, Ted?
No, I wouldn't know that if I wouldn't know that if I fell out of an airplane and went to the ceiling of that. The what?
The Thomas and Mack Arena.
No.
Well, that's where the Lakers and the Jazz were playing the night that Kareem broke the his career mark, and it was a very, very obviously it was a big game, but it looked to me like even then, and this was in the early '80s, that Las Vegas would be a great basketball city.
Well, if Vegas is a great basketball city and Vegas is a great baseball city and a football city, then Vegas becomes a big league city, and I suppose you could say it's not unlike New York. People go on vacation to cities, but Vegas had its own ways. Vegas was a place, what stays in Vegas, you do it in Vegas, and or not what you do in Vegas.
What you do in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah, that's it. What you do in Vegas stays in Vegas. Not that I would have no idea whether that's true or not. I've often prayed.
Okay, we're talking with Vernon Dozier.
Look, I'm going to say something. I think Coach Dozier is making a very good point. I know that, Las Vegas has always represented as something very unique in the American experience. It's a place where you'd go gambling, have a few drinks, whatever else you want to do. The action, and nothing else mattered. Now you go to Vegas, and you're distracted by a lot of other things. Now, I'm just wondering if it ruins the Vegas experience. For me, it's not going to ruin it, but I can understand people who are who have a certain attitude about Las Vegas.
You can go into a casino and lose yourself in a casino. I get it, but, I don't want to be sitting there playing blackjack and have some big, fat, blabbermouth punk kid come in and go, hey, I just was at the Las Vegas butt phantoms or whatever they're
butt fans.
What's the name of the team?
They're going to be called the Nevada Werewolves.
No, they're not the Nevada Werewolves. That was one idea that was being floated.
I heard Frank said it was either the Las Vegas Sunbats or the Nevada Werewolves or some other.
Yeah, I heard the Desert Trash. Desert Trash, but I've never seen that.
The Desert Trash.
That's what I heard.
No. It's either Nevada Werewolves or, let me tell you something, it better be Nevada Werewolves, because that is a highly unique name. If everybody expects them to be the Las Vegas, I think that they ought to be the Nevada, either the Nevada Sunbats or
Nevada.
Yeah, the Nevada Werewolves.
Well, I don't know anything about team names, but the point is...
Yeah, there's going to be a kid coming up and saying, hey, did y'all see the Sunbat game? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, why don't you shut up? You wouldn't know hockey You wouldn't know Hockey Kid if you had your sister's roller skates, a ball, a stick, and the next 10 years to do nothing but play with yourself in the street. Well, that's, I gotta love the coach. That's hysterical. I need change for a buck. I want to go hit a play. You want to do what? I don't know what. I thought I was in Las Vegas. I'm actually in the gym here. Well, you're gonna work out, right? Phil, Coach Dozier wanted to do a little working out here. I want to do the leg machine, Phil.
Okay. So what's that mean?
Don't you want to listen to me do it?
Not really. No.
Well, I'm gonna do it anyway. So hold on.
Why are we listening to this guy use the leg machine?
Hold on for a minute, because I'm going to demonstrate the proper use of the leg machine. That's one leg.
I mean, you're only going one leg at a time.
I'm only going one leg at a time. Yeah, here we go. Here's the other leg. One, two. One, two, three. Two legs. Well, there it is, Phil. That's me doing my... That's me doing my leg machines. But I will tell you again, it's going to be fun, and it's going to be out of sight. It'll be uptight and out of sight. All right. I hope, Phil, that everybody can come to Vegas. And if you can't come to Vegas, by all means, come to Beverly Hills. Get yourself a Ted's and Beverly Hills steak. And we'll cook that thing up like you wouldn't believe. You'll be eating it, but you won't believe it. I'll tell you that much.
All right, Ted, thank you.
You got it.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Go ahead, Coach. One more time, Coach. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Well, isn't that just charming?
We want to put our meat in your mouth, boy.
Well, there it is. Ted's of Beverly Hills, Ted Bell, and the gang here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We're
going to
stay trippy for life, man.
So let me tell you what. Whatever they call that team, and however well they do, I can tell you that it's going to be an interesting experience for the people of Las Vegas, the very first professional sports team in Las Vegas.
Famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Ciembri Incorporated. All rights reserved. On Podcast One, I'm Margaret Gray.
We got through this one, didn't we?
Well, and I have to apologize to everybody for the amount of sick time we've taken, for the technical difficulties we've had. It's been whack. It's been a wacky, wild, wonderful thing. I'm Phil Henry. Blessings.
Don't forget to get your voicemail message. You can get a message with my voice on it. If you buy a year's backstage pass, is that what it is?
Yeah, backstage pass.
Backstage pass.
And me, Ted Bell.
Get a year's backstage pass at Phil Henry Show website at philhenryshow.com. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do anything there.